The reading comes from Ezekiel, and it's chapter 34, verses 11 to 16. It's on page 855. But this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out of from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in the good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Not particularly political correct anymore, is it? Merry Christmas. I don't know if you've thought about this, but Christmas presents a fundamental problem for a preacher like me. How many years can you churn over the same story and make it fresh? Let's put Christ back into Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's get back to the true meaning of Christmas. Man, how do you make that fresh? And look, it's not just me that has a problem. There's at least one person in this room who has spent over 100 Christmases. And some of you, frankly, aren't spring chickens either. How many Christmas services have you been to? How many times have you listened to the Christmas message? It seems to me that the more familiar we get with something, the harder it is for it to penetrate our hearts. You sing the Christmas carols that are very familiar. Even something as beautiful as Silent Night, do the words really penetrate your heart? Or has Christmas become a ritual that we go through every year, and you're here because it's kind of Christmas time, and that's what we do, we go to church at Christmas time. And out there in Westfield today, it is going to be bedlam. Anybody still have to do some Christmas shopping? Yeah, some ill-prepared people who have to fight the crowds. Christmas is a bit, to me, like a message in a bottle. Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk along the beach and stumble across an old barnacle-encrusted bottle with a cork and a message in it? That would be just awesome. What would you do with it? Well, it seems to me you have a number of choices. You could look at the bottle and go, well, that's a beautiful, that's awesome, and step over it and go on your way. Or you might say to yourself, well, you know, maybe that message isn't for me. Maybe it's for someone else. I'll pick it up and I'll throw it back. Or you could pick it up and you could take it at home and put it in a drawer and forget completely about it. Or you could open the bottle and read the message. Question, what are you going to do this Christmas with that message? Are you going to walk past? Are you going to throw it back? Are you going to forget about it amidst all the rush and the ritual of doing Christmas with family? Or this year, Are you going to open up the bottle and accept the message into your heart?
Hi.
Christmas began, it would seem, on that starry night 2,000-something years ago. But it actually started a long time before that starry night 2,000 years ago. There are many prophecies in the Bible about Christmas. Let's just look at four of them. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times. Centuries before Christ was born, there is a prophecy through the prophet Micah that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Anyone know what the word Bethlehem means? The house of bread. The bread of life was born in the house of bread. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Again, centuries before the birth of Christ, the virgin birth is predicted. And let's go right back to Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. So they predict that the Savior will be from the tribe of Judah. And of course, that terrible massacre that we... Have you ever heard a sermon on the massacre that happened after Jesus was born? We don't tend to celebrate that much, do we? We don't like to talk about that much. But there was a terrible massacre of infants within 2 years of Jesus being born. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. See, it seems that Christmas, or at least the idea of Christmas, began in God's heart a long, long time before that starry night in Bethlehem. But what does that have to do with you and me here and now? 2,000 plus years on, celebrating your umpteenth Christmas this year in Bondi Junction. It was always God's plan to send us his son. As I read the Old Testament from the first book to the last, it's a story of the struggle of God's people with God. The name Israel means to struggle with God. God makes a covenant with him. Let's have a look at it. Leviticus chapter 26. If you want a good executive summary of the Old Covenant, the best one you'll find is Leviticus chapter 26. And basically the Old Covenant, the contract between God and his people, goes like this. If you obey me, I will bless you, and if you don't, I will punish you and curse you. That's it. That's the Old Covenant. And the Israelites are a lot like you and me. Who has gone, those of you who drive, who has gone a whole month without breaking a road rule? A whole month without breaking a road rule. Never speeding once. Lynn. Yeah. We can't keep rules, right? We're not good at it. Nor were Israel. And they tried to obey God. They couldn't, so God punished them. The whole of the Old Testament is Israel failing their part of the Old Covenant. And the whole of the Old Testament screams out at us, hey, we need a better idea than this, because this ain't working. And so it's easy to imagine that Jesus coming along was plan B. But clearly he wasn't. Clearly he was always plan A. And it comes out of the heart of God that we read here in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke, and I enabled you to walk with heads held up high. See, the heart of God is to be with his people. And not with super spiritual people. Not with the religious leaders. Not just with the people who look like they've got their lives together. Not with just those people. With bog, ordinary sinners like you and me. That's what our Bible reading was about. The shepherd heart of God. Let's go and have a look at it again. Ezekiel chapter 34. Let's just step through it. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. The sovereign Lord. The Lord who created the heavens and the earth. The Lord who created the whole universe. This is what he says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. We all go through days of clouds and darkness. We all go through bad times in life. We all go through times when we look at that other Christian over there and we think, boy, if I only had my act together the way he or she does. Boy, if I was only blessed by God like that Christian over there. But you see, this isn't for that Christian. This is for the sheep who were scattered on days of clouds and darkness, and I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land. You know something about sheep? Sheep will never lie down unless they feel safe. If sheep do not feel safe, if sheep do not feel at peace, they will not lie down. They will only stand up. God means to bring you peace. You may feel as though you've been scattered. You may feel as though it's a day of darkness and clouds. You may feel as though the message is for someone else, that Jesus came for someone else, but that's not what the Bible says. The shepherd heart of God is for you. And for me, I will tend them in good pasture. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. A second time he says it. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. This is why they call it good news. God wants to be with his people. God sent Jesus to be our shepherd. God sent Jesus to find you and me when we were lost, to bring us peace and good pasture so that we would be prepared to lie down in those good pastures. Turn with me to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that has been made was made. John refers to Jesus here as the Word. Jesus is God speaking to us. Jesus is God in the flesh speaking to us. Jesus is that message in the bottle. And then it says this amazing thing in verse 14. Then the Word became flesh and made his dwelling in our midst. Does that sound familiar? Leviticus chapter 26. That's exactly what it's looking back to. That the word there is he tabernacled in our midst, referring back to the tent of the meeting, the tabernacle that was in the middle of the Exodus where the Israels were traveling through the wilderness. Then the Word became flesh and tabernacled in our midst. I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst, and I will not abhor you. And we beheld the glory of the one, the only one, the Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Tomorrow we're going to look at the birth of Jesus and the decisions that God made around the birth of Jesus. Today, what I pray that we would take home in our hearts is that Jesus came for me. I want you to understand how radical a concept that is in Old Testament times. Let's go to the end of Exodus. Exodus chapter 40, beginning at verse 34. I'm just going to read about how God traveled with his people on the journey of the Exodus. Because this is what John 1, 13 and 14 points back to. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, called also the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses couldn't enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, remember the whole 40 years they spent in the wilderness, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not go out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during their travels. Now understand this. In those days, all the nations had their gods. They worshipped different gods. I travel to India a lot. Man, those Hindus, they worship so many different gods. But all the gods that all the other nations worshipped lived where? In temples, on hilltops. If you wanted to go and worship that god, you had to put on your Sunday best and toddle off and go into the temple and bow down before some idol and worship it. Why? Because they're inanimate. Because they were just lumps of wood and tin and silver. But the God of the Israelites was where? Smack bang in the middle of his people. Three tribes to the north, three to the south, three to the east, three to the west. The radical concept that a God would travel on a journey with you blew the minds of the people. We kind of take it for granted now that Jesus came. We've done all the pantomimes. We've seen all those the kiddies do, and we've sung the songs, and we've heard the story over and over again. Understand what a mind-blowing, radical concept it is that the God who created the whole universe would come and be in our midst and become a man and become one of us and suffer and die for us. And then send his Holy Spirit to dwell in each one who believes, to be on the journey with you. The message of Christmas is that God wants to be with you. The message of Christmas is that God became one of us to be on the journey with you. I know that behind some of the faces in this room, there are some difficult journeys. There are some painful journeys. There are some people drawing to the end of 2007 with regrets and hurts in their hearts. And it's difficult to imagine when you're in that place that God has even noticed. God put us together in this room today for you to hear this. Jesus came for you. No matter how difficult your journey is, no matter how empty you may feel, no matter how many times you've heard the Christmas story, Jesus came for you. And he is on this journey with you. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to step over the bottle and just go home and do Christmas the way you always do? Are you going to pick it up and throw it back in the ocean and imagine that it's for someone else? Are you going to take the bottle home and then stick it in a drawer somewhere and forget about it and live the rest of 2017 and 2018 until the next Christmas message just the way you lived it before? Or are you going to open your heart and hear the good news that Jesus came for you? He is on this journey with you. And no matter how dark it gets, how lonely it gets, how painful it gets, Jesus is with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing shepherd heart that you have for us. Lord, it does. It blows our mind to think that the Creator of the universe would be with us, for us, on our journey with us. Lord, I pray for each person in this room right now who has struggled ever to receive that truth into their hearts. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lift your word off the page today and write it indelibly on our hearts so that every step we take, every breath we take, for the rest of our times on this earth, until we are in glory with you, we would know that the Word became flesh and tabernacled in our midst. That we would behold His glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father. May we live our lives each day in that knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you didn't pick it up on the way in, I've written a booklet and published it called The Shepherd Heart of God that kind of talks about some of the stuff we've talked about. They're sitting out on the desk there. There are plenty there. If we run out, I have plenty more upstairs. Grab one. Take it home. It's only like 30 pages long. Take you half an hour to read. May God's word bless you this Christmas.